about construction there.
And
okay, good morning. As always, the Daf HaShavua Shir is sponsored by OMO Construction and David and Paul Baumzer, and breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. And we're starting on the very last line of Mem Vav Amid Beis, where it says Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan in Mechabdin Lo Bedrachim Lo Begisharim Lo Beyadayim Mizuhamos. You don't follow protocol, or you don't give over a kibud to someone in the context of drachim. If people are, let's say, coming to an intersection and you have to figure out who's going first, don't follow formalities like, oh, that's a bigger talmid chacham or that's an older person. You do the right thing. You kind of keep things flowing. That's true by drachim, by intersections. Also at a bridge. A bridge, the Rishonim point out, is even more dangerous to start following kavod issues. Rather, go with the flow. Go follow the traffic rules. And that's true also by, as Rashi points out, benetilas mayim achronim. Mayim achronim, we wash mayim achronim before benching because of a sakana, because our hands are dirty with melach sedomis, which is a danger. So we just quickly, everyone just do their mayim achronim as quickly as possible without following kavod and without trying to give kibudim to people. Ravin v'Abaye, havu ka'azli b'orcha. So Ravin and Abaye were going on the road. They were going on a trip. I don't think they were going on a trip together. They kind of met up in on the road. They were each on a trip and they met up together. Kadmi chamrei de Ravin with Abaye. And so the donkey of Ravin preceded the donkey of Abaye, went ahead. V'lo amr le nezel mar. And he didn't, Abaye didn't, I'm sorry, Ravin didn't say, Ravin didn't say to Abaye, you go first. Amar, midasalakai mi rabbanan mi marava gasli daite. So Abaye's reaction to that was that Ravin was a little bit haughty. And Ravin was someone who used to go travel frequently from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And so Abaye said, that Ravin, who's always going from Eretz Yisrael to a Bavel, it must be that it got to his head. And the fact that he's coming from Eretz Yisrael, he thinks he's on such a lofty position, and that's why he didn't allow my donkey to precede his, and he just went. They continued on their journey. Or
is that like
they,
passing on the left when you're driving?
I guess it's like passing on the left when you're driving, right. So he said, look, that guy's so haughty, he didn't let me pass on the right or whatever. So they kept on going, and I guess they met up again. Kimato pischa debe kenishta. When they came to the entrance of the shul, I guess they were both arriving at shul at the same time for mincha, Amr lei, so then Ravin said, Neyomar. So Ravin said, please, gentlemen, please, Abaye, go ahead of me. So Amr lei, so Abaye said, V'adhashta lav marana. He said, until now I'm not a gentleman. You say, now go ahead, gentlemen. Amr lei, hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Ravin said, no, Rabbi Yochanan said, and they point out that Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Again, Ravin was the one who frequently traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he would quote Rav Yochanan often. He said, Rav Yochanan, my Rebbe, said, "Ein mechabdin el bepesach sheish b'mezuzah." The only time that you give kavod to someone and allow them to go first is not on the roads, because there you have to follow the traffic rules. You allow someone to go first when you come to a doorway that gets a mezuzah. So he asks, "V'dis b'mezuzah in d'les b'mezuzah lo?" That's only true by a doorway that has a mezuzah. El miata be'kisa kinesas be'sa medrash d'les b'mezuzah hachinami de mechabdin. So a beis hakinesas, the baseline halacha is that a beis hakinesas doesn't get a mezuzah. That deviates sometimes nowadays because our beis hakinesas is multi-purpose. But a pure beis hakinesas at our beis hamedrash doesn't have a mezuzah. There you shouldn't allow the person to go first. Elaima bepesach haroy l'mezuzah. He said, no, it means a doorway. It means the kind of doorway that would ordinarily get a mezuzah, not specifically one that has a mezuzah. Am Rav Yudah Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav. Okay, so now new topic. So now they quote in the name of Rav. Ina mesubin rashoim lechol klum ad shiitom habotzeya. If you have one person that's cutting the challah for everyone and distributing the challah, so the people at the table shouldn't, you're covering this So let's see how this integrates with the Gemara. So the people at the table shouldn't eat their piece of challah until the person who made the hamotzi eats his challah first. Now, Tosfos gets into a whole discussion here where he distinguishes maybe yayin is different than challah, right? Yayin, especially if everyone has their own cup of wine in front of them, so then maybe you can drink the wine before. But challah, at least, is what our Gemara is talking about, and the people should not eat from the challah until the botzei, until the person who's making a motzi eats his challah. It's a din lecha mishnah. Really? Okay.
Because the person make the bracha should make the bracha first. I don't know.
Well, it's definitely a din lecha mishnah. That's why there's one person making the bracha for everyone.
And that's why he should make
and that's why he should eat first. Okay. Okay, fine.
Unless
so,
the other people also have lecha mishnah, then maybe it's...
Okay, right. So the answer is it's more complicated than just appears in this Gemara. There's a whole sugya here. But at least this Gemara doesn't seem to be tying it to lecha mishnah. It's saying that as a general rule, the person, the people eating from the main person should not eat theirs until the main guy eats. Yasiv Rav Safra v'ka'amar witom. So the way that they had quoted Rav here was Einam Subin Rashayin Lechol, that they shouldn't eat. So Rav Safra said, change the girsa a little bit of this and say Einam Subin Rashayin Witom, they shouldn't taste. So Itmar Lomay Nafkimina, what's the difference whether you phrase it as they shouldn't eat or they shouldn't taste? And the answer is Shechayiv Adam Lomar B'lashon Rabba. The answer is Inachinam. There's no difference in terms of what the halach is. It's just that when you're quoting Rav, you should quote Rav using the original formulation that he used, and he used the word witom rather than lechol. But a lesson here along the way that you should always quote things using the, or trying to mimic as much as possible, the original language of your Rebbe. Tanan Rabbanam, while we're talking about kind of manners and the protocol in terms of going first and eating first, Tanan Rabbanam, Shnayim Amtinim Zela Zebikara. If two people are eating at a table, they should kind of wait for one another to start taking from the food. But if there's more than two, you don't have to wait. If there's already three, you don't have to wait for every last person. You could already start eating. Habotseya hu poshe yado tchila vim balachol kavod urabo olumishagad lehimen or rishus biyado. Here too, the main person, the person who made a motzi for everyone else, he should kind of take first, but if he wants to give kavod to his Rebbe, or for someone else who's at the table who has more stature than him, he could do that. Rav Bar Chana, va'asik le'lebrei bei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. So Rav Bar Chana, he married off his daughter and was at the Shavuot Brachos or something. They were eating together for the first time at the house of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina.
Says marrying off his son.
Marrying off his son, thank you. That makes more sense with the story. He's marrying off his son, thank you. He's marrying off his son to the daughter of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. Kadim v'yasiv v'kamas. So he's with his son, and they're at the new in-laws' house, so he wants to make sure his son does everything right. So he's kind of coaching his son as to how to do things to impress or to at least not embarrass him in front of his new in-laws. So kadim v'yasiv v'kamas ni'ubrei. So he taught his son, as he's right there at the table, he whispers in his ear, "En habotzei rashay luvtzoat chiyicho amin mirapiaonim. You are going to make that motzi for everyone. Make sure you don't..." Someone else is going to make a motzi. The host is going to make a motzi. Make sure you don't start eating your challah until... I'm sorry, he's cutting. He's the one cutting. So he says, you're cutting for everyone. Make sure you don't start eating your challah until everyone finishes saying amen. So this is another halacha. The halacha before was that if you're the guest, you shouldn't start eating the challah until the main guy starts eating. This is another halacha, which is that the main guy shouldn't start eating himself until everyone finishes amen. So he makes a bracha, they say amen, then he eats, and then they eat. And it all has to happen sequentially. No one should jump the gun and do their role before the next guy, before the previous step. So he's whispering to his son, son, don't make sure not to eat until they all answer amen. Rav Chista amar mipnei rov ha'onim. So Rav Chista clarifies that you don't have to wait till every last person finishes saying amen. You only have to wait until most of the people finish saying amen. So Amrle Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama said to Rav Chista, "Maishna ruba dakati okal yabracha, mutanami okal yabracha." So Rami Bar Chama said, if the whole purpose here is that amen is tied to the bracha and it's part and parcel of the bracha, and therefore you shouldn't start eating until they finish their amen, so why is it only the rove of the people you're waiting for? You should really wait for every last person to say amen, because everyone's amen is tied to the bracha, and only after the last person finishes his amen, that's when you should eat. So Amrlei, so he said, Shani Omer Kla'una Amin Yozer Midai Ino Elatoa. So he says, I'm taking into account the fact that there are some stragglers out there that will do a whole melodic and lengthy amen, and they'll go, 5 seconds after everyone else, every normal person has finished their amen. And so that's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to make an amen that goes too long. They're just toim, and therefore you could already start eating your challah after the mainstream amen is finished. You don't have to wait for that last strange fellow who's going on with his amen.
You won't be held hostage.
You won't be held hostage to some chazan that.
Or someone that doesn't want to say amen.
Right. That's also true. You'll never get to it. Right.
It seems just from the words that it's not talking about eating the bread, it's talking about cutting the bread.
Is that true? I was saying eating. You're right. Is it?
One breaking bread.
Both, so you're right. You're not supposed to cut. Thank you. Okay, you're right. So again, you make the bracha. They answer amen. Then you cut it, and then you distribute it. You eat it, and then they eat it. That's the sequence. That's right. Okay. Good. Thank you. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Now, while we're talking about the ethics or the protocol of saying amen, that it's not appropriate to say an amen that's too long. So the Gemara now introduces a Tosefta. Tanur Rabbanan. In onin lo amen chatufa, you shouldn't say an amen chatufa. Rashi explains an amen chatufa is where the aleph of the amen is with a, the way he describes it is with a chataf v'lo bepatach, right? Really it should see, or the girsa changes to a comma. It's really under the aleph is a comma. So it's amen. Amen chatufa is a amen, where you kind of leave off the aleph, or you short shrift the aleph, and you're like, main, main, main. You kind of leave, so it's where you kind of put the two dots under the aleph instead of a kamatz under the aleph. So that's an amen chatufa, that's not appropriate. V'lamein katuf, katufa is the opposite, where your nun is not enunciated. So you say, main, you kind of leave off the nun. V'lamein yisoma, and you shouldn't say an amen yisoma, which literally means an orphaned amen, which is, Rashi points out, Shalosham HaBracha Shalosham HaShon Amen, where you're with a couple group of people, you didn't hear the bracha, but you just heard that the tzibur is saying Amen, and you just join them and say Amen. That's not appropriate either. Now, Rashi asks a question. There's a famous Gemara in Sukkah, which says that the Shulin Alexandrian in Egypt was this huge, huge, huge edifice, and it was so big that they used to have people like waving handkerchiefs when it was time to say Amen, because the chazan was always all the way at the front. They didn't have a microphone, and people were, all the way in the back. They didn't hear the chazan answer, and so there was kind of like a wave of an amen, and they would wave handkerchiefs to signal when you should say amen. So Rashi says, isn't that an amen yisoma? If you don't hear the person saying the bracha, you're not supposed to say amen, it says here. So Rashi explains that no, it's only a problem if you have no idea of the context, and you're not kind of with the tefillah. But if you're with the tzibur, and you know what's flying, it's just that you can't physically hear it. You kind of know the chazan's up to chazar sashatz, and he's doing these brachas every, 20 seconds another amen comes, and then there's a signal about when to do it. You're in on the situation, and then it's okay.
Today we could still see in big shuls that a kid running next to the rabbi flipping pages with numbers so people would know what pages are on.
Know what pages, right. Okay, so yeah. Fine, but that's how Rashi reconciles that Gemara in Sukkah, the Shul in Alexandria, Shal Mitzrayim, with this halacha. And then the Braisa continues, the Tosefta continues, V'lo yizrok bracha mipiv, you shouldn't throw a bracha for your mouth. You shouldn't, Rashi says, b'mihiris, you shouldn't like just swallow your words and say the bracha really quickly. You should say the bracha at a reasonable pace. It shouldn't appear to you like a masa, like a burden. You should say the bracha nicely. Benazai Umer Kalauna Amin Yisoma, anyone who says an Amin Yisoma, who says an Amin out of context of a bracha, Yiyu Banav Yisomim, God forbid his children will be orphans, meaning he'll die early. Chatufa, if you say a bracha, an Amin Chatufa, where you leave off the Aleph or you give short shrift to the Aleph, Yischatfu Yamav, so then your life will be grabbed, like same shorish as Chatufa. Kitufa, if you leave off the nun or don't enunciate the nun properly, so then you skatfu yamav, so there too also, your life will be cut short. And conversely, kalamarich ba'amein, someone who says an amein nicely, not too long as we said before, but an amein appropriately and nicely, marichin lo yamav ushnosav. So then his days should be long, and Tosfos points out, as long as you don't say it too long. As long as you don't say Ramin too long. Okay. Tosfos also points out that the maskana of the sugya is that you shouldn't cut the bread until rove of the people say it. We're not going to wait for that last person who's doing the really long Ramin. Okay, now a story. Rav Shmuel havu yasfe besudasa. So Rav and Shmuel were sitting at a suda. They were having a meal together. Also, Rav Simi Barchia and Rav Simi Barchia arrived. Hava kamisrahev v'achil. And he was eating quickly in order to join the Zeman. He saw that Rav and Shmuel had already finished and they were about to make up to bench. There were only two people. You need a third person for the Zeman. So Rav Simi Barchia is quickly eating up his food so that he could join them, so he could finish before they actually start benching. So Rav said to him, Rav realized what was going on, and he said, Ma daitech, what are you trying to do? It's Darufe Ba'adon, you're trying to join us for our Zeman. Anon Achilnoan, we already finished our meal. And Rav was saying to him, basically, you only have a Zeman, three people can only join together for a Zeman if the three people ate together. But if we ate and finished our meal entirely, and now you come after the fact and you start, you know, wolfing down your food to join us, that's not going to work. So Amrali Shmuel, was the other, the third person there, Amrali Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Ilu maisino li ardila." If you were to bring me mushrooms or mushrooms, right? Mushrooms or what's the other word?
It says
Kamehameha Pitrios. We had the really fancy mushrooms that you pay lots of money for.
Truffles,
right? If you were to bring me mushrooms or truffles, like for dessert, ugozila laba. And if you were to bring like a fowl, a chicken or something like that to you, pigeon. Rav. Hmm?
Pigeon,
thank you. A pigeon to Rav, niwach linan. Would we not have eaten it? Meaning it's true that we already finished our meal, but there's always room for dessert, is what he's saying. And since there's always room for dessert and we could possibly eat more, our meal isn't really finished, and then it's okay for him to wolf down his meal and join us, and we kind of will still be mitzdarif because we could always fit a little more in.
So he's saying that they didn't have to eat that, or they would bring it out?
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think he's saying we have to eat that. I think he's saying the theoretical possibility that we could still eat a little more means that we're still open, that our meal is not closed, and he can still join us in the Zeman. Tosfos points out here that what will close off the meal and what will close off the possibility of a third person joining is if you already say Havlan v'nevarech, right? If you already say Rav Sain v'nevarech, or you already say, look, this meal's done, we're ready to bench, past the benching as benchers now, time to bench. So then a third person comes, then it's too late, that already closes off. But other than that, if they're just sitting around and talking, then they could theoretically have dessert. So as long as that theoretical possibility exists, the third person who joins them can join them for the Zeman also.
So you're at a burger place, and two of you sitting down, third guy you see, other just come join us for the Zeman, doesn't work.
Well, no, I think it will work as long as they have theoretically they could eat a little more. As long as he sits and now he eats his burger, and they're still talking and schmoozing with him, as long as they could fit a little more in, it'll work. Tamide de Rav havu yasfi besudasa. So the Tamidim of Rav were sitting at a meal. O Rav Acha, and Rav Acha came and joined them. Amri, and they said, Asa gavra rabba de mavrichlan. So they said, here's a big important person, a person of stature. He should lead the benching. Amri lehu misavrisu de gadol mevarich ikashiv sudu mevarich. So Rav Acha said, you think that the person of the highest stature should lead benching? Really, the people who are the mainstays of the Suda should lead benching. So one of you should lead benching. I just came as an afterthought. And the Gemara says, V'ilchasa gadol mevarech. The Gemara says, no, actually, that's not true. The gadol, the person of the most stature, he's the one who should lead benching. Afag abda asa l'basof, even though he came at the end, he's the one who should ideally lead the benching. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to go back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said all sorts of categories of people who cannot join a Zeman and people who can join a Zeman. So one of these categories was Achal Demai. And Achal Demai was in the category, first the Mishnah listed people who Mezamin and Allah, that you can join a Zeman. And one of them was Achal Demai, so someone who eats Demai. So Demai is food where that comes from an Amma Aretz, and we're not sure. Amma Aretz is someone who's not very learned, and the people who are very learned, they would be very careful with separating Trumos and Maestros, etc. But an Amma Aretz, someone who wasn't very learned, would often not be careful about it. So the Truma, we assume he separated because that's only a little amount. But we're not sure 100% whether he separated Meiser. Now, it's important to know, whenever we talk about Demai throughout Shas, on a Doraisa level, this concern does not exist. I can pretty much assume that people do separate their Trumos and Maestros, even if they're in Amaretz. The categorization of food that comes from an Amaretz as Demai, as something that shouldn't be eaten because we're not sure that Meiser was taken off, that's only a Chumra Drabanan. It's only Chumra Drabana. So now we're talking about a situation where a person joins your meal and he's unpacks his lunch and he's an Amma Aretz maybe, or maybe he's a Talmid Chacham, but the food came from an Amma Aretz, and so we're not sure, Midrabana, we're not sure whether Meiser was taken off. And you're not allowed to eat food that Meiser wasn't taken off from. It's prohibited to eat that food. And so the Gemara is going to struggle with the fact that why is it that a person who eats demai, which you shouldn't eat, right, until you're maaseret, until you take off the maaser, why should he be allowed to join the zeman? Generally speaking, we say if you eat not kosher food or eat food that's not appropriate to eat, you're not allowed to join the zeman. So the Gemara says, halo chazilei, he's not allowed to eat this food. It's not kosher to him, this demai. So why is he able to join the zeman? So the Gemara says, Rashi points out, that the rule is based on the Pasuk and Tehillim, both Seah Berech Nitz Hashem. You're not supposed to make brachos or join in Zeman for not kosher food. Right? There's all discussion about what about if you're eating not kosher food because you need to eat the not kosher food, maybe then both Seah Berech Nitz Hashem doesn't. You do make a bracha, it's all discussion. But at least the guy's doing the wrong thing. He's eating Demai here, he shouldn't be joining your Zeman. So Gemara is Halach Hazilah, you shouldn't eat it. So Gemara answers, Kevin di Boi Mafti Lelunichsei Vaviani Vechazilah. There is a theoretical possibility that a person is allowed to eat demai, because demai, as we said, is only a chumra drabanan, and the rabbis, when they made the takan of demai, they exempted certain categories of people, and they said certain people may eat demai, such as an ani, a person who's a poor person, and so he doesn't have a lot to eat. To start telling him now he's got to take off a tenth of the food is a hardship for him, so we're not going to apply that chumra of demai, that halacha of demai, to a poor person. Similarly, as Rashi points out here, as we're about to see here, a soldier who's taking advantage of the, you know, in Revolutionary War times, they had the Quartering Act. The soldier is running from the battlefield, and you're giving him refuge and feeding him, so he's in an emergency situation. He also may eat demai. And so the Gemara says here, because this person, even though he's not an ani, he's not a poor person, he has a theoretical there's a theoretical possibility of him immediately making himself an ani by just being mafkir olz in the chasim. He could say, all my stuff is ownerless, it can be taken, now I immediately am in the category of an ani, and then I can eat demai. So since that theoretical possibility exists, we'll allow him to join the zeman. Kevin di boy mafkir olz nechse have ani, chazilei. Ditanan, as we see in the Mishnah, ma'achilin es aniyim demai, you could feed a poor person demai, vesach zanyi demai, or a soldier, you could feed him demai. They just throw in as an afterthought that Rav Huna says, points out that Beis Shammai holds that you're not allowed to feed a poor person or a soldier demai, but we don't pass him like Beis Shammai, we pass him like Beis Hillel. You're allowed to feed a poor person demai, and so this is therefore, since you can theoretically make yourself a poor person, thus opening yourself up to the possibility of eating demai, we're going to allow you to join this zeman. Okay, the next category that we said you may join the zeman in the Mishnah was Maiser Rishon Shanatla Trumaso. So the way it works is there's a series of Matnas Kuna and Leviyah that happens. So first, from the produce, you take Truma and you give it to the Kohen. That is, you can even give a Mashu in a Torah, and Midrabanan, and we say usually we give a 40th or 50th or a 60th. But the point is, you give that first, you give that to the Kohen. Then with the leftovers, you give a tenth to the Levi. And then the Levi, with his tenth, he's got to give Truma, what's called Truma's Meiser, to the Kohen. Right? So again, from the main part, you have the Truma, which is a small amount you give to the Kohen. With the remainder, you give 1/10 to the Levi. And then with that 10th that the Levi has received, he gives his own Trumas Meiser, a small amount to the Kohen, and then he can eat that leftover Meiser that he has. So the Gemara says, or the Mishnah had said here, a Meiser Rishon Shenotla Trumaso. Meiser Rishon Shenotla Trumaso, that's the portion that the Levi has after he's given his Trumas Meiser to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course, that is okay to join in the Zeman if he ate that, because there's nothing wrong with eating that. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Lo tzricha, the Gemara says, we're talking about a situation, ela sheikdimu bishi balim, vihifrish mimenu trumas meiser. We're talking about a unique situation where the produce has not yet been fully harvested and piled up. Right? The way they would do it is they would harvest all the produce, they would pile it up into a pile, and then they would bring it into their house, and they would give all the matanos. If you didn't pile it up, you kind of just haphazardly picked a few pieces off the plants, and then you didn't take truma yet, right? You skipped the truma stage, and the Levi took the meiser. He took the 1/10. That's what we're talking about. And the halacha is, if the Levi jumps the gun and takes his meiser before you've done truma, and before you even kind of were fully ready to do truma, because that hadn't yet been piled up, so he takes his meiser, he still needs to give his truma's meiser to the Kohen, but then he can eat it, even though the stage of truma has been skipped, and the halacha is that you'll never get that truma. That truma is just skipped. That Kohen never gets that initial stage of truma that the Yisrael was supposed to give him. That's the halacha of hikdimu b'shibalan. As we'll see now. The Levi jumped the gun, grabbed his meiser, ve'efrish mimenu trumas meiser, and then he gives his trumas meiser, the truma of the meiser, to the Kohen, ve'lo hefrish mimenu truma gedola. And he never gives, no one's ever given the truma gedola, the initial truma stage, to the Kohen. Ukid Rabbi Avo, and we're following this famous shita of Rabbi Avo that appears multiple times throughout Shas. Delma Rabbi Avo, I'm Reish Lakish, quoting Reish Lakish, Meiser Rishon Shikdimu Bishibalim, where the Levi jumped the gun, grabbed his Meiser Rishon before it had yet been piled up, Pater Mitruma. The whole thing is just completely Pater Mitruma. We skipped the Truma stage. That Kohen is never going to get Truma from this produce. Pater Mitruma Gedola. Shenemar Vaharimosa Mimenu Truma Sashem Meiser Mina Meiser. That's what the Pasuk says. Meiser Mina Meiser Amarti Lecha Velo Truma Gedola U Trumas Meiser Min ha-meiser. So this pasuk is teaching you that if you skip that initial truma at the shibolim stage before it was piled up, so then the truma gedol is never taken. That's what we learn from Rabbi Avo. And that's the point here, that food is eaten and he can join in the zeman even though the truma gedol was never taken, because that's the halacha. The truma gedol doesn't get taken. So Amrulay Rav Papa Abaye, so Rav Papa said to Abaye, Ihachi. Rav Papa said, if you're going to learn this pasuk to teach you that once the Levi gets his meiser and you've skipped truma, you're never going to go back and give that truma, afilu hikdimu b'kri nami. Shouldn't that halacha extend not only where the Levi jumped the gun at the very earliest stage before it had been piled up, but even if the farmer, the Yisrael, grabs it off the plants, he piles it up, fully harvested, and piles it up in the way that they typically would pile it up, and then the Levi jumped the gun and grabbed Meiser before the Yisrael had the opportunity to give the Truma Gedola. Says Rav Papa, shouldn't that also be exempt from the original Truma? So Amar Cha, Alecha Amar Kra, he said, no, that's not true, because the Pasuk says, Mikol Ma'asro Seichem Tarimu. There's a Riboy that says, always give Truma. And that's what this is coming to include. If the original farmer Yisrael went so far as to fully harvest it, put it in the piles, what we call creek, put it in the piles, so then it's like dugun, it has the status of fully harvested dugun. Then, even if the Levi jumps the gun and grabs his meiser at that point, you have to go back and give the truma gedola, because at the point that it's piled in a pile, there's already a chiyuv truma sets in. A chiyuv truma sets in, and it doesn't then disappear. Gemara says, "My rais Am I right? Why should the pasuk apply to, meaning the pasuk that is marben says you do go back and give the truma. Why does that apply specifically to once it's been piled up, whereas it doesn't apply to before it's piled up? Hai idgin v'haiglo idgin. Because this has been collected and gets that kind of status of dagan, where, as Rashi points, schalav rishus kohen tchila. Once it's piled up, that's when the kohen gets a stake in it, and you don't go back and then erase that chiyuv truma. So that's the halacha.
If he never piles it up, then it doesn't have a chiyuv?
If he never piles it up and he just completely eats it derech arai, then it's never going to get a chiyuv. Yeah, yeah. That's right. That typically won't happen, because if he's mass collecting and he's going to sell it and he's going to use it or leave it in his house, he's going to end up kind of... you're saying if he... and it's complicated, because there's Rias Pinei Abayis. Once he brings it into his chatzer, that might also be koveyad for Truma. There are various other things that could be koveya for Truma.
He's saying, like, you lose that chai of Truma if you... I'm saying if you haven't gathered it yet.
Right.
So, I'm saying, let's say, I don't know, just say he never had an opportunity to gather it, so then it was never a chiyuv.
Yeah, I think it could be that at the point where he brings it into his house or his chatzer, that is another separate point where the chiyuv sets in.
Okay.
Other things that are like that we just learned in Daf Yomi, in the Gemara, the very end of Beitza, talks about if you designate it for eating on Shabbos, that's like a significant thing that's like significant that infuses it with the chiyuv as well. So there are things other than the kri itself, but the main way you're doing it is by putting it in that pile. And the Gemara talks about people who kind of bring it through the back door to kind of avert these halachos, and the Gemara criticizes people like that because you're playing tricks, like using loopholes, like tax loopholes to get out of paying it to the kohen. The Gemara criticizes it. So there are instances where you can kind of play the system and
right,
get out of it.
But in the first circumstance, you would have think that if there was a requirement that, so if the Levi took it before, he should be, like, why mess with the kohen? If he's the
kohen's
portion, it should transfer from Yisrael to the Levi.
Right, that's the Havmina. This Kzeres HaKazah right. Says, no, in this situation, the kohen just loses out. Truma's... what is it? Truma mina, truma gadol, truma mina, meiser mina meiser, vo truma mina meiser. It's a special gzeres hakazah. Okay, next thing is meiser sheni vehekdesh sheniftiv. So this was another thing, right? If you have meiser sheni, right, in depending on the year of Shemitah that you are, in most of the years of Shemitah, except for the third and the sixth, you give another measure of meiser. But this is for you to eat in Yerushalayim. The thing is, sometimes it's not so convenient for you to bring all your produce to Yerushalayim, so you could be mechalal it onto money, could transfer the kedusha of this onto money, and then you put your money in your pocket, and you go to Yerushalayim, and then you buy produce in Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. That's how Meiser Sheni works. Hekdesh is similar. If you were makdish your produce to the Beis Hamikdash, and now you want to eat it, it's a pain in the neck to bring this to Yerushalayim and give it to the Beis Hamikdash, so you could transfer the kedusha from this produce onto money, and then use that money to give it to the Beis Hamikdash. And the point is, you've redeemed the kedusha off this produce, and now the produce is chulin. You could fully eat it in the Meiser Sheni scenario or the Hekdesh scenario. So the Mishnah had said that these kinds of produce, if you now make it into bread, you can, right, it would say, for example, is wheat. You make this now into bread, you can now join a zeman for this. It's perfectly okay. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course it's perfectly okay. You took the kedusha legitimately off of this wheat and put it onto money. Why would you think that you couldn't have the wheat with as part of your zeman? So the Gemara answers, Hacham ha'eskin kagon shen nasan es ha'keren v'lo nasan es ha'chomesh. The halacha is for these things, when you're podet, when you redeem them, when you put the kedusha onto money, you have to add a fifth. And this is teaching you Dein Chomesh Ma'akev. So this is teaching you that if you didn't add the fifth, you cheated out the Meiser Sheni or the Hekdesh from that fifth, it doesn't nullify the Chilul, and it works. And so it takes away the Kedusha, it transfers the Kedusha onto the money. You've done something wrong by not adding that fifth, but it still works, and therefore you can use this produce for bread that will ultimately be acceptable, and you could join a Zeman. Next was Hashamish Sa'achal Kazayas. If the attendant, let's say the butler, the waiter, he eats a Kazayas while he's serving, so he can also join in the Zimun. So the Gemara says, Peshitta, why wouldn't you think he can join in the Zimun? Ma'udatem Hashamish Lo Kava. You might think that because the Shamish is going in and out of the kitchen and he's not really part of the meal, so he wasn't Koveya Suda with these people and he can't join the Zimun. Tamashwan, the Mishnah is teaching you that's not the case. Because he's there, he ate the Kazayas in the vicinity, that works. Next is Vakusi.
Yeah.
Probably with the Mishnah. I mean, this way, because we're going back to the Mishnah, so I don't know if the Gemara delved into it at all. But the Mishnah itself was where we had said that the Shamish can join the Zimun. Okay. Next is Vakusi. So what's a kusi? So there's machlokas throughout Shas about the status of a kusi. What were they? It was a certain kind of nationality. Our Mishnah is, and the machlokas is generally speaking, is whether kusim geirei emes aim or geirei arayos aim. Were these kusim people that were not legitimate converts because they only converted because they were afraid, geirei arayos aim? Or were they legitimate converts? Our Mishnah, and for the purpose of this sugya, we're assuming that kusim are geirei emesim. They were bona fide Jews. It's just that they have really weird practices, and they don't follow necessarily all of Torah Shabbat Peh. They don't follow all the rules, but they are legitimate Jewish people. They were real converts. So the Gemara, now we're saying that kusi mezamin elav, that a kusi, you can include him in your zimun. So the Gemara says, amai. Why should that be allowed? Lo yehei ala amaretz. A kusi is no better than an amaretz because a kusim didn't follow all the halachos. So the whole problem with an amaretz is it doesn't follow all the halachos and he doesn't therefore join you in the zimun. Vitanya, a mezamnin ala amaretz. There's a halacha that amaretz, someone who doesn't know the halachos, someone who's kind of lackadaisical with halachos, can't join a Zeman. Now, the Gemara is about to get into an analysis of what is an Amaretz, so we'll hold that off for now. But for the moment, we assume that an Amaretz is someone who's lackadaisical in mitzvos. A kusi is also lax in his mitzvah observance, so why should he be allowed to join in your Zeman? He's no better than an Amaretz. So Abaye Amar, Bekusi Chaver. Abaye says, no, this happens to be a kusi, that's a Talmud Chacham. He's a kusi who went to yeshiva, and he learned the halachos, and he reformed himself. Rava Amar, afilu tema b'kusa amaretz. Rava says, no, even if we're talking about the classical understanding of the word kusi, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, a kusi who's not really following the halachos. The hacha, and when we said above that amaretz can't join the zimun, but amaretz drabanan, depligi alei drabimer askinan. We're talking about the definition of an amaretz as articulated by the rabbanan, as follows. Ditanya, as we see in this brisa, ezeu amaretz. What's considered, who's considered an Amaretz? Kol she'eno ochel chuliyov betara, divrei Rimer. So Rimer says, the Amaretz is someone who isn't makbid on tara for all his food, meaning even non-kudshim food that he eats, non-meiser sheni food that he eats, any food that he eats on his regular lunch, he's always makbid. If he's not always makbid to eat a betara, then he's an Amaretz. That's a very, very high bar because like we're not makbid on Tara, right? Most people are not makbid on Tara. Zohar Meir had a very high standard. And he said anyone who doesn't eat his chulin betara is considered amaretz. The Chachamim omrim, kol she'eno ma'asir peirosov karoi. The Chachamim say that the definition of an amaretz is someone who doesn't take ma'aser off his produce appropriately. The honey kutai. So that's what, this is all part of the answer to the challenge above, right? We said, you don't, in mezamnin al amaretz, we said that amaretz can't join a zimun. So our explanation now is that when we said that an amaretz can't join a zimun, it was referring to this definition of an amaretz, meaning someone who doesn't do meiser properly. That's why he can't join a zimun, because he's eating non-kosher food, right? He's eating food that doesn't, he's eating tevel, he's eating food that hasn't been properly tithed. As opposed to this kusi, who we said in our Mishnah, can join the Zeman, the Gemara clarifies, v'hani kutai isuri masre, kedechazi. But kutim do take off meiser properly. Why? The thing about kusim is it's true that they are lax in all sorts of mitzvahs, but they're very, very machbid on anything that's explicitly stated in the Torah. So meiser is something, there's a pasuk that says you have to take meiser. So kusim are very good about taking meiser because it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. And so therefore kusim can join a zimun, even though a classical amaretz who doesn't take meiser can't join a zimun because a kusi does take meiser. Damar mar kol mitzvah sheichziku ba kusim harbe medaktigim ba yosim Yisrael. And furthermore, not only that, but kusim who the mitzvahs that kusim do, they do them really, really well. So it's true that kusim are lax on all sorts of Torah Shabbat Peh, things that are not explicit in the Torah. But because meiser is explicit in the Torah, a kusi is very dependable to take off meiser, and therefore he's a great person to join in your zimun. Because he doesn't have a problem with meiser. Now the Gemara is going to get into a whole discussion about what's considered amaretz. Tan Rabbanan Izu amaretz kol she'eino kore kriyas shema arvis v'shacharis divrei Rabbi Elazar. Someone who skips davening, he doesn't say kriyas shema in the morning or the evening. Rabbi Yeshua omer kol she'eino meniach tefillin. Someone who skips putting on tefillin. Benazai omer kol she'eino tzitzis bebigdo. Someone who doesn't wear tzitzis. Rav Nasan omer kol she'ein mezuzah al pischo. Anyone who doesn't have a mezuzah on his door. Someone who doesn't properly educate his children in Torah. Acherim omrim, and finally, acherim say, usually in the Gemara, acherim refers to who? To Rav Meir. Rav Meir is always acherim. Acherim omrim, afilu kara vishana v'lo shimesh tamidei chachamim. Hariza amaretz. So Acherim Rav Meir says, even someone who learns properly, he learns Torah, he teaches, but he's velo shimesh tamidei chachamim. He doesn't serve tamidei chachamim. Now, that doesn't mean what it sounds like. Rashi points out, it's referring to a person who is learned in chumash and like knows his chumash, but he doesn't learn Gemara, literally is what Rashi says. He might even learn Mishnayos. He's kind of fallen off the wagon and doesn't have the most up-to-date interpretations of what everything means.
Why does it quote two different definitions from Rabbi Meir?
Oh, that's interesting. You remember we quoted above? Where was? Oh, Rabbi Meir was all above. That's a very good question. So maybe there are places in Shas where Achirim is not Rav Meir? I don't know. And as a little side note, it says, look in Tosas on Daf Tes about Achirim Omrim. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe Achirim is not always. I thought Achirim is always Rav Meir. Oh, look. The Tosas on Daf Tes points out the point that you just made. I guess in that context also, we see Rav Meir and Acherim. So the Tosos there says, this instance of Acherim, lav Reimer, it's not Reimer, deha Reimer, Iri El Minayu, because Reimer is quoted above. So I guess you quote, very good. So you apply that same Tosos here. Acherim is not Reimer. I stand corrected. Acherim is not Reimer. I don't know who Acherim is. Anyway, that's the point, that Acherim is someone who learns, but isn't all up to date and isn't following the Amorim, isn't learning the Umara's interpretation. Rav Huna says halacha ka'achirim. In fact, the halacha is like achirim. The halacha is like a rechirim. Is like the achirim. Top Tosfos points out here, importantly, because this is the end of that discussion about, or almost the end of the discussion about who can join a zimun. If it's true that an Amaretz can't join in a zimun, and an Amaretz is however you define it, Tosfos points out, we're not medaktik on this. Virgilim anu zamin b'amaretz, and we regularly do zimun with amaratzim, says Tosfos. And he goes on to explain why. The reason why we don't discriminate against amaratzim is it's going to cause divisiveness in Klal Yisrael. If you invite your Shabbos guests over and you start figuring out loud, you know, who qualifies to join the zimun. Oh yeah, you're a amaretz because you don't really put out a mezuzah in your door. You don't wear tzitzis. Let me see your tzitzis. You know, it's an absolutely terrible practice. And so Tosfos says, forget all this. Our minhag nowadays is include everyone in zimun. And the Mishnah Brura, the Shulchan Aruch specifically quotes this Tosfos. It says that nowadays Bezman Hazeh Mizdamnin Alav. Now the Magen Avraham writes that someone who's a complete avarian, someone who's a Machal Shabbos Befarhesia, or you know, someone who doesn't follow the mitzvos, they don't think get included in the Zimun. The Achronim after the Magen Avraham kind of discussed this, and the bottom line is our practice nowadays is really not to discriminate against even someone who's a complete avarian. And I heard of Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted as saying that generally nowadays we assume that anyone who is not following Torah mitzvos is a tinok shenishba. They just weren't taught properly. They grew up in a very secular culture like we do, and even people who go off the derech, you know, we don't attribute that to being a Rasha Gomer. If you invite a Rasha Gomer probably to your table, a real hardcore apikores who's like espousing, telling people to do bad things, then probably don't include him in your Zeman. But generally speaking, you invite, you know, a coworker over.
I don't know if you'd invite him.
You probably wouldn't invite him, so it's probably not an issue. But if you invite your coworker over to, you know, a Shabbos meal, and he's not from, I think our minhag nowadays is to include him in the Zeman. We don't discriminate in that way. Okay. Running out of time, let's see. Amar Rav Huna Hakarachem. Rami Bar Chama lo azmin aleid Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa. So Rami Bar Chama invited Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa to a meal, and he didn't include him in the Zeman. You think Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa is an Amora, he would make it into the Zeman. Why? The Tani Sifra v'Sifri v'Hilchasa. Because he didn't like, I think, he was a person who wrote Sifra v'Sifri v'Hilchasa. He was one who was the author, I think, of these Mishnayos, right? So, Kinach Nafshei Drami Bar Chama, when Rami Bar Chama died, Amar Rava, Rava commented, the only reason why Rami Bar Chama died, maybe he died early, is because he made this mistake of not including Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa in his Zeman. Didn't Acherim say that anyone who is not? I think the problem was with Rami Bar Chama was that when we say above the Tani Sifra v'Sifri v'Hilchasa, he didn't like learn through it through the Amoraim, right? He just kind of based his halacha on the earlier sources. So we say now, isn't it true then that someone who only bases his halacha on earlier sources and doesn't learn the later sources, the Amoraim, that's considered Am Aretz? So Gemara answer is, Shani Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa, Demashmu L'Rabbanan, V'Rami Bar Chama Hu D'lo Daka Basrei. The thing with Rami Bar Chama was that he did learn from these later rabbis. It's just that Rami Bar Chama wasn't up to date and didn't really understand that, he didn't know that about Rami Bar Chama. I'm sorry, he didn't know that about Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa. Lishna Achrina, another version is the Shama Shmaitza Mipupayu Drabanan Vigaris Luhu Ketsurba Merabanan Dami. I think the Shama Shmaitza Mipupayu Drabanan Vigaris Luhu Ketsurba Merabanan Dami. That anyway, even though he didn't learn these things deeply, he didn't really understand the Gemaras, but he quoted the kind of maskanas of these Amoraim, and that's good enough. Meaning you don't need to be the biggest, deepest Talmud Chacham, but as long as you go-race them, as long as you quote those halachos as binding, then you are Ketur v'Merabanan. I think that's what the Gemara says. Okay, next one, Achal Tevel Umayser. So this is now starting the list of people who should not be included in your Zeman. And one is if you eat Tevel Trumaso. You eat something that truma had not been taken from, as we've said, that's not kosher. Or you eat maisa rishon, where you haven't given the truma's maisa, again, that's not kosher. And so therefore, this person shouldn't be included in the Zeman. So Gemara says, tevel pshita. Obviously, it shouldn't be included in the Zeman. It's not kosher. Well, tzrichad betevel tavel midrabanan. We're only talking about a drabanan level tevel. The Mishnah is coming to teach you that even if you fail even to take only drabanan level truma, then you also should not be included in the Zeman. Haichadami, what is Tevel Drabanan? But it's Sheinu Nakav. If you have a produce that's grown in a planter, in a pot, that doesn't have a hole in it, Right, the halacha is if the pot has a hole in it and it's sitting on the ground or maybe even elevated above the ground slightly, it's getting its nutrients from the ground and therefore it's fully considered like planted in the ground. But if it is in a pot that doesn't have a hole in it, then it's not getting its nutrients from the ground and it's only chayev in truma midrabanan. So someone who hasn't taken off that truma also shouldn't be eating when you're
Why would we eat vegetables like they're growing in Newark now? Hydroponics.
Yeah, hydroponics is relevant. Is that might only be chayev tevel truma midrabanan.
Get the cut you guys have.
Right. Yeah.
So now in Israel, they have hydroponics.
Right, that's what they're saying. Hydroponics would only be chayev midrabanan in truma. That's right. Yeah, unless I don't know the hydroponics. Maybe it's not to its nakov. Is it completely sealed off? The soil might just be.
There's no soil.
Oh, there's no soil at all.
No soil.
Yeah. But it's in the air. I don't know if it's not hermetically sealed, right? It's in the air, so maybe it still gets, it's still considered, I don't know. I don't know how we treat it. Halacha l'maisa. L'maisa, even at least midrabanan, you'd still be chayv in trumas and maisa. So, okay, maisa rishon was the next thing. Pshita, again, obviously, you can't join the zimun. We're talking about where you... As we explained above, the chiyuv truma does set in once the farmer has gathered it in a pile. So that's what we're talking about now. Ma'u detema, you might have thought kedamar of papa uabai. You might have thought like the havmin of the gemara there that even where it was piled in a pile, you'll skip truma, and because of that gzeres hakasuv, you'll never be chayev in truma gedola. Kamashvan kedushaniway. The maskana of the gemara is that no. Once it's piled in a kri, the chi of truma sets in, and there you have to take off the truma. And if you don't, it doesn't. You can't join in the zeman. Meiser sheni. The next thing in the mishnah was meiser sheni shehekvek d'shalod niftu, something that has the status of meiser sheni where you weren't mechalud into something else. Pshita. We say that's obvious. Why should you be able to join in a zeman if you're eating meiser sheni outside of Yerushalayim? It's like eating not kosher food. You're not allowed to do that. You shouldn't be able to join in the zeman. We're talking about a situation where you were podet, you attached its kedusha to a coin, but you didn't do it properly. Meiser sheni kigon shepedol al gabe asimon. The halacha of meiser sheni is you could only podet, you could only move its kedusha onto a coin that has a tsura, that has some kind of engraving on it, like a real coin that like we have. But an asimon, which is just a slug, it's just like a metal thing that's like looks like a coin but doesn't have any engraving on it. That is not sufficient. You can't prepode it onto an asimon. The coin has to have some kind of engraving on it, and if it doesn't, you haven't properly been mechal it, and therefore you're eating not kosher food. Hekdesh, and similarly hekdesh, stuff that you had consecrated to the base of Mikdash, Shechu al-Gabi Karka, where you tried to transfer its Kedusha onto real estate, onto land, where that doesn't work. V'lo pado b'kesef, v'rachman amar v'nasata kesef b'kam. Well, the Torah says you can only pode hekdesh onto kesef, not onto real property. And that's what we're talking about there. Next, v'ashamish ocho pachas mikazayas. We say that you can't join, a shamish can't join if he eats less than a kezias. Gemara says, pshita, obviously, if he's eating less than a kezias, there's no chiyuv of a benching, and he's not going to join you. Gemara answers, I did tana reisha kezias, tana seifa pachas mekezias. Mishnah says, just trying to keep the Mishnah parallel. It's listing all the things above, and now it's listing below. So it throws in, he wants to kind of, it mentioned the shamish above, wants to mention the shamish below. So he say, if he ate a kezias, he does join. If he doesn't, if he didn't, then he doesn't join. You can't have a non-Jew to participate. Pshita, the Gemara says, obviously, we're talking about a person who's in the process of converting. He has had his mila so far, but he hasn't done his tefillah yet. He hasn't gone to the mikvah. So long as he hasn't done both stages, had his mila and gone into the mikvah, he's still considered a non-Jew, and he can't join in the zeman. Next, nashim v'avod nuktanim im mizam nenolav. We don't include women, slaves, and ketanim in our zeman. Amar Rabbi Yossi, katan hamuto barisa mizam nenolav. Rabbi Yossi says a katan can join in your zeman. Ay v'atanan nashim v'avod nuktanim im mizam nenolav. Doesn't our Mishnah say just the opposite? Who damer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? He holds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Damer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He says, "Af apish amru katan muto barisa in mezamin alav." Even though we say that a cutting you don't include in the zimun, aval osin oso sniff la asara. But he can make up the 10th person. If you're trying to add a lokenu in your zimun, he can be the 10th person to do that, even though he can't be the 3rd person to create a zimun. Vam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Tish, not only that, but Tisha ve'eved mitzdarfin, a slave can also join as the 10th person. Nesve ma'isav Rabbi Elazar shenichnas l'beis haknesses. So this is a famous story with Rabbi Eliezer. He came into shul, ve'lamatza ba'asara, and they were short a minyan. They couldn't find 10 people there. Ve'shichrer avdo, so he had his slave with him, and he was like, we need a minyan, we're running out of time. And we need a minion, and we're short. So he freed his slave. Once the Eved Kanani becomes free, he becomes a Jew. Vishlimo la'asara. And now the slave was able to join and make the minion. Gemara says, Shechorin, lo shechor lo. That implies that he needed to free his slave in order to make him join a minion. That goes counter what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, that 9 and a slave counts. So Gemara says, Treyet shrichu. Shechor chad v'nafik b'chad. So the situation really there was that they were short 2. They only had 8 people, 8 Jews. He had 2 slaves with him. So he freed one slave, that made a 9th Jew, and then his second slave, he left him as a slave, and that filled out the minyan. So Gemara then says, famously, how could he possibly have done this? V'am Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, kol meshachar avdo over ba'asei. You violate a mitzvah saseh by freeing an Eved Kanani. Shneamar liolam b'hem tavodu. The pasuk says that they should work for you forever. So it's actually a violation of mitzvah saseh to free your slave. My answer is l'dvar mitzvah shiny. You're allowed to free your slave for a dvar mitzvah, for a mitzvah obligation. The Ramban explains that this is similar, this is kind of like the prohibition of freeing a slave is kind of like the prohibition of lo sechanim. You're not allowed to give away free stuff to a non-Jew. But that's a very loose prohibition, because any time that there's a quid pro quo, any time where you're getting something from giving it away, even just making a Kiddush Hashem or getting his gratitude in return, so then that thing is not Lo Sechanim doesn't apply, it's not really an Avera. So too here, says the Ramban, the prohibition of freeing a slave is gratuitously freeing a slave with nothing in return for no good reason. But if you're going to get something in return, such as getting him to join your minion, so that's when mitzvah shiny. So the Gemara answers, mitzvah ba bavera hi. That sounds like a mitzvah ba bavera. The Gemara answers, mitzvah the rabbin shiny. Even a mitzvah ba bavera, because it was helping other people out as well, then it's okay. Should we just try to get to the bottom? Let's go a few more lines. Gamar b'shulman levili olam yashkim adam beisak nezas kedish yuskev yimne im asar rishonim. It's always good to get up early, show up on time to the shul, in order that you are included in your first 10 people. Shafilu meya b'im acharav kibolav schar kulam. That if you're number 10, or if you're in the first 10, so then even if 100 people come afterwards, so you're not really needed, but still, kibolav schar kulam, you get the schar for all of them. Gemara says, schar kulam salkadaitak, you actually get all of their schar. Now, ela ema nostin lo schar kineged kulam. You get the equivalent of their schar. They still get their schar, but you just get schar in equivalent to theirs. Amar Rav Huna, tisha v'arun mitzdarfin. So Rav Huna says, if you're looking for a minion, you could have 9 people plus the arun. This is the famous thing, you know, holding a chumash. So Amar Rav Nachman v'arun gavruhu. What are you talking about? The arun kodesh is a person that he could join as a 10th person. El Amar Rav Huna, tisha nirin kasar mitzdarfin. So Rav Huna has an interesting halacha that's not halacha maisa. He says if the 9 are grouped in a way that it looks like they're 10, so Amrile ke machni, so some people say it means if they're close together, then they kind of look like a crowd of people and you can mistake them for 10. V'amrile ki mivadri, or others say no, it means that they're spread out apart and that looks more like it's 10. But the point is somehow, depending on how they're sitting, if they kind of, you look closely, don't count too closely, says Rav Huna, then you count them as 10. By the way, Tosos on the next Amud, Mem Ches, right at where the wide lines start, it says, V'omer Rabbeinu Tam d'minog sh'tosu, talking about this idea of a katan holding a chumash. That he says, that no, you know, that there's this kind of urban legend that if a katan holds a chumash, then that chumash will count as a 10th person in the minyan. Rabbi Natan says it's a minhag shtetl. It doesn't really work. And he brings up proof from the fact that it says Aron Gavru, that the Aron Kodesh is a person, and Aron's not a person, the Chumash is not a person, so it doesn't really count. Amrav, Ami Shnayim v'Shabbos mitzdarfin. So if you have two people on Shabbos, that's good enough to be a Zuman. Amrav Rav Nachman v'Shabbos Gavru, is Shabbos a person? What kind of craziness is that? Amrav Ami Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Hamechadin Zezah Baalacha mitzdarfin. Two Talmidei Chachamim who talk about halacha a lot, that's enough to be mitzdarfin. You'll notice there are no little letters here showing halachos. These are not halacha maisa. Machver Rav Chista, Kigon Anav Rav Sheshes. Rav Chista said, just like me and Rav Sheshes, we're buddies, we always talk about Torah together. Machver Rav Sheshes, Kigon Anav Rav Chista. Rav Sheshes said in kind, just like, yeah, me and Rav Chista, we're buddies, we always talk Torah together, the two of us would count as a Zeman. Rav Yochanan, Katam Poreach Mizamnin Olav. Tanya Nami Hachi, Katam Shevish Deish Saros Mizamnin Olav. So a minor who is not yet 13 years old, but he already has some of the simanim, some of the signs of puberty, he has shtei saros, so he can join in a zeman. And conversely, if he hasn't yet shown any of the signs of maturity, he doesn't get included. Ve'in medachtekin b'katan. And then the Gemara says that we don't check the katan. So the Gemara says, hu gufakasha. This is internally inconsistent. Amris hevi shtei saros in lohivi lo. You said that you need the signs of maturity, the shtei saros, two hairs, in order to include him, v'hadar tani in medaktik in mekatan, and then it says that we don't check, right? That would be a very awkward thing to do at your Shabbos table. So what's going on here? Do you check or not? So the Gemara answers, la'siye mai, lav la'siye katan poreach. It's the idea is that if he already is 13 years old, then you don't have to check. That's Gemara is gonna now continue how it works with the katan, but we'll stop there. We got to
2 months ago.
Yeah.